Our next speaker, Hannah Frick, is going to quite a change of topic now, looking at how we track running and cycling data. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, thanks for having me. Is the mic on? Can you hear me? There we go. Yes, this is the tracker package, is joint work with Yannis Kosmidis at the University College London. The QR code takes you to the homepage of our group, Statistics in Sports and Health. Just as a brief outline, I'm going to talk a bit about the motivation to do Tracker in the first place, some of its functionality with code examples and some implementational detail. This hopefully answers three rather simple and straightforward questions for you. Why would you care? What can you do with Tracker and how does it work? So, as so often, the initial motivation was that we had data we wanted to analyze from projects with runners and the British national team in field hockey. But generally, there's an increasing amount of fitness and sports data from GPS-enabled tracking devices, such as like GPS watches when you go running, or some people do it with a phone. Professional sports people tend to wear it in their neck to reduce the noise from the signal. The device manufacturers usually also provide proprietary software for the analysis, and there's various other apps. This means non-R, non-Chinese apps like Strava, for example. There's also the open source software Golden Cheetah for cycling analysis. All these programs usually provide tools for mainly descriptive analysis, unlike the many opportunities you have for analysis in R. So our aim was to bridge that gap between the routine collection of such data and their analysis in R. There's relatively few packages related to sports, is my impression. So I've seen packages for sports management, ranking teams, scraping betting odds, and things like this. Closest to what we do is probably CycleR Tools and its relatively new successor, Alpatron, for specifically cycling data. So this is roughly the package structure. What I would like you to take away from this is that we've got four areas. In blue is functionality to read data. The nodes are functions in Tracker or objects that they take as input or output. That central element here is the data object, creatively named Tracker Data. In green, you have summary functions, and the red dots are connected to distribution and concentration profiles, which is something I'm going to talk about in a little bit. So this is the idea I just told you. When you want to read data, Tracker comes with specific reading functions for TCX files, DB3 files, and Golden Cheetah's JSON files with the help of the XML, RSQLite, and JSONLite packages. They all return a data frame that you can then plug into the constructor function to get your Tracker data object. We plan to extend this, thus the gray boxes over here. You can skip these, the middle step when you go via a read container. So you give it a file and you get your Tracker data object back. If you have a directory full of these files, you can use read directory to make your life easier. So Tracker ships with an example TCX file you can access like this. The data frame that's returned by the read function contains the time in POSIX CT, positional data, and distance, heart rate, speed, cadence, and power. This is a runner, so thus we don't have any power values. One way is to put it into the constructor function. You get an identical object if you just do read container. And the read directory reads all the files of any supported type that are in the directory. And since there is just one here, the object is also identical. This is being stored in a Tracker data object. We do initially a very basic data cleaning step, so no missing timestamps. And the heart rate is often recorded as zero before the monitor really gets going. We set that to an A, frankly, assuming that the athlete is alive. So we split the observations into sessions based on the ordered timestamps. Many observations further apart than a certain threshold, the default is 2 hours, are considered to be in different sessions. Some short gaps in the recordings can occur within sessions. That's usually the case when the sampling rate is reduced or if the device is being paused. And then we impute zero speed and power in such instances. We store each session in a multivariate zoo object, and the tracker data object then is a list of session objects with attributes for units of measurement and operations, such as, for example, smoothing. We have an example data object in Tracker with 27 sessions by a male runner in June 2013. And I think probably easiest to start off with some visualizations, and apart from the default plot method, you can also plot the route that you've taken during a session on either static maps or interactive maps. So the default plot method uses ggplot2 and gives you a column for each session. Per default, it shows you the heart rate and the pace in that session. You can also plot the speed if that's what you'd rather see, or the altitude for an elevation profile, something like this. The plot route function uses the ggmap package, so you can use map tiles from different sources, for example Google, instead of the OpenStreetMaps that is used here. If you'd rather have an interactive map, of course it looks like this, you can zoom in here, and if it's not pre-presented on a stage, it obviously works. So you can do this, and then you would see that this runner is discovering the southeast of England. You can click on one of these to give you a short summary. If you want a more detailed one, then you obviously use the summary method for these objects. Those gives you weighted averages of key performance measure quantities, and the weighting is done based on the time difference to the next observation and on a speed threshold to determine whether the athlete is actually moving or not. So the preferred walking speed for humans is about 1.4 meters per second, and we set the default threshold to 1 meter per second. So any observation that corresponds to roughly walking slowly is considered moving, and these observations go into measures like time moving or average speed moving. That's quite a list of numbers that you get. If you do have this for multiple sessions, you might want to see this in a plot rather than the bare numbers. So the summary object also has a plot method, which allows you to specify, amongst other things, which quantities you want to see. So if you take the average speed and the distance, it looks something like this. Obviously, here the speed in the session is summarized in just the average, but there's plenty of other ways to do it. Some people calculate the time spent above a single threshold, such as maximum aerobic speed, or you calculate time in zones, most commonly used probably with heart rate zones, and that's essentially the difference between time spent above a set of thresholds. So you can extend that idea to a distribution profile, which is a function of that threshold, returning you the time spent exercising above the threshold, obviously. The concentration profile is then the negative first derivative of that distribution profile. They kind of look like cumulative distribution functions. Thus, where it is interesting where the curve goes down. This usually reveals concentrations around certain speeds and heart rates. This is probably easier to see with a plot. So here we have a session with some interval training where the person was running at slower and faster speeds. These bits here is like the warm-up and the cool-down phase. The distribution profile for this looks like this. So if you want to know how much time did that person spend running above 4 meters per second, that is roughly 1500 seconds. but it's not that easy to determine which two sort of speed levels that interval training was at that would be the dips here. So if you look at the concentration profile instead, you can see that this was roughly, like, the slower version was 3 meters per second and the other one 4.5 meters per second. For reference, Usain Bolt is somewhere over here with 10.4 meters per second as an average speed in his world record on 100 meters. I wanted to say that these curves make it also easier to compare sessions with one another. So we will do this for the 27 sessions that are an example data set. Since we're in the States, some people might be more comfortable with miles per hour rather than meters per second. So we can change the units of the runs in the first step. It's not necessary, but hopefully convenient. Then we calculate the distribution profile on a grid from 0 to 22 miles per hour and get the concentration profiles. These functions and curves obviously vary, and one way to describe the variation between the profiles is to use a functional principal components analysis. I've done this a couple of times with the FDA package, and because I didn't want to type all the code again, I added a wrapper that's also part of Tracker that converts you the profiles into a functional data object for the FDA package and then runs the PCA. And because we want you to be able to use Tracker also as a stepping stone into other packages, we've also exported the function converting you the profiles to the functional data object, and then you can go and explore the rest of the wonderful FDA package. So for our 27 sessions, distribution concentration profiles look like this. The first thing you see is obviously that they vary greatly in height, but what else is going on? If we run the PCA on this, we see that the first two components already capture 91% of the variation. So we've plotted those here on the left. The solid line is the mean curve, and then the other two lines in the plot give you an indication what kind of variation is being captured. Here it's the height, and this corresponds to the session length, as you can see in the scatter plot over here with the duration moving and the score of the first principal component. The second feature distinguishing the curves is sort of the mean location here, which corresponds to the average speed moving. In this case, you have two scalar summaries that capture what's going on with the speed in these sessions rather well, but beware that this might not be the case for other sessions, and then it might be useful to have more information than just those two numbers as you have in the concentration profiles. So our motivation was to bring fitness and sports tracking data to the analytic capabilities of R. In terms of functionality, you can read data, store it in a session-based data structure. There's basic analytic tools and visualizations. The package itself is available from CRAN and GitHub in the release and develop versions, respectively. There's also two vignettes with further information. The tracker vignette has more details on the implementation. And so, for example, mathematical notation for the distribution profiles, whereas the Tour de Tracker is a brief tour of functionality, including parts that I haven't mentioned here. And as there is always future work, we're looking into getting more input formats done and possibly a stronger link with Golden Cheetah, thinking about how we can incorporate team structures rather than a single athlete and a couple of other things. So these are things that went into Tracker. Thank you.
That's great, thank you. Do you have any questions for Hannah? I think David was first.
Hi, yeah.
Hi.
I'm David Smith, editor of the Revolutions blog, and we had an interesting post a few months ago, I think, from a lady in Germany who put some kind of tracker on her cat and used the tracker package.
I think she's from Austria.
Or Austria, no. Right, okay, yeah.
If it's the post I've seen, yeah.
I think so, but I just thought it was a really interesting application of the package, and I was just wondering, if you'd ever heard of any applications of Tracker for things like conservation, like tracking animals with collars or whales going overseas, that kind of things. Because I guess it generates the same kind of data that these human trackers do.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly plot the path of your pet if you put a tracker on it. You're probably not that interested in seeing how fast your cat is running around. People who've contacted me who are using Tracker were actually using it because they go running or cycling. If I had a pet, I'd certainly give it a Tracker.
A quick technical question. It looks like Strava only exports the GPX format, and just a quick online doesn't seem like there's an easy to convert tool. What do you suggest I do?
You have not found an online tool to convert GPX to TCX.
Well, there's an online tool, but then I'd have to like manually do it every
time. Okay. Give me some samples so I can extend this. I think that's probably it, unless you want to play around with XML stuff and read these yourself. I haven't gotten my hands on GPX files yet, so although I've seen, I think if you upload it to Garmin, for example, and then download it again, but that's...
Oh, Garmin, so I can switch it.
I think they take both formats and then give you TCX.
Okay.
Unless, like, Polar or so, who do not give you your data back, which I find rather rude. So,
thank you.
So, a question and a comment. The question is, have you tried to figure out actionable data that you can get out of this? Because there's lots of this kind of data, and you sit there and you stare at it all day and kind of feel good about yourself, right? But questions like, hey, you know, can you analyze large bodies of data, right, from a given athlete to, say, do things like compute what their FTP is or to compute where their LTHR is and things like that? Like, have you thought about that, or are there kind of plans down the road? Because that's actually analyzing data using a machine, right, as opposed to humans kind of looking at graphs and figuring things out.
We have a project with the British national team in field hockey, so they generate their data in every practice session. We're getting there, possibly doing similar stuff as Yannis has done with runners, where you've done ElasticNet, trying to use the training data in form of just concentration profiles to predict performance in further races for several, But yeah, so work has been done. We do have a bigger batch of data, and hopefully these two things will get together soon.
Cool. My comment is, if you're looking for like additional ways of importing data, particularly from Garmin, where the FIT format is pretty much like the dominant binary file format for that stuff, I've got a repo with a bunch of code in there that you're welcome to do high-performance reading of FIT files natively.
That would be great, yeah.
So you can avoid all this XML nonsense and other stuff.
Thanks.
Okay, so I think that will have to be it. So if there's any further questions, please have a chat with Hannah later in the conference. And thank you very much for that.